time you find you wanna leave her bed for mine. Why don't you stay? I'm up off my knees. I'm so tired of being lonely. You can't give me what I need. When she begs you not to go, there is one thing you should know. I don't have to live this way. Baby, why don't you?
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and police in New York City say they still don't have a motive in the shooting death of UnitedHealthcare's CEO this morning in Midtown Manhattan. ABC's Chuck Sievertson with more.
NYPD sources tell ABC News it's not clear why Brian Thompson, chief executive of UnitedHealthcare, was gunned down. It happened in a big hotel conference tourist area of Manhattan. Thompson was in New York for an investors' conference. His schedule was widely known. Shot in the chest near the Hilton Hotel on 6th Avenue shortly before 7 a.m. Died at the hospital. He was 50.
Police are still searching for the gunman who fled on a bike. Pete Hegseth, nominee for defense secretary, back on Capitol Hill trying to gain support ahead of confirmation hearings. Senators voicing concerns over allegations of personal misconduct and sexual allegations. Hegseth denies. President-elect Trump also considering other choices, sources tell ABC News. The search for a missing grandmother continues outside Pittsburgh after she fell into a sinkhole Monday. This is ABC News. Israeli forces still in a fierce long-term fight with Hamas in northern Gaza. More civilians have left the area, but aid workers say less aid is getting through.
The UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees, known as UNRWA, suspended to Gaza via the Kerem Shalom crossing. UNRWA citing the breakdown of law and order, calling the southern crossing too dangerous. Armed gangs recently looted two separate UN aid convoys, stealing over 100 trucks of food. The UN blaming Israel for the security problems, charges it denies. The UN suspension comes as levels of food and medical aid have dropped to near wartime lows. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
Opposition party members have been arrested in the former Soviet nation of Georgia. Pro-Western demonstrators have been out on the streets for nearly a week speaking out against the pro-Putin Georgian government. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discuss, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. When sending a package, why venture outside? Ship with USPS for a true holiday ride. Want to stay cozy and warm? There's no need to roam. With free package pickup and labels printed from home, we have over 600,000 employees always in motion. And before you know it, your gift has delivered emotion. Spread the holiday joy this season with USPS's enhanced network. Learn more at usps.com/holidayride.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ehlin. The Dane County judge's ruling overturning Wisconsin Act 10 will likely be appealed to the state Supreme Court.
Since becoming law in 2011, Act 10 has restricted what public employee unions are able to negotiate while making an exception for police and firefighter unions. Dane County Judge Jacob Frost ruled that violates the state constitution. How an appeal fares will hinge on the outcome of April's election for an open seat on the state Supreme Court. Dane County Judge Susan Crawford, a liberal, and former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel, a conservative, are running. A win by Schimmel would flip the court's 4-3 liberal majority and likely mean Act 10 would be upheld. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The remains of Cassandra Ion have been found in Marathon County.
Her body was found on private property near the city of Stratford, according to a release from the State Department of Justice. She went missing in October of 2020. Her on-again, off-again boyfriend was later named as a suspect. And 2 years later, Jesus Contreras Perez was found guilty of killing and stalking her. He's currently serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole. Friends of Ion noted that the two had been in a rocky, at times abusive, relationship. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
2024 deer gun season was the safest in Wisconsin in almost four decades. Department of Natural Resources Hunter Education Administrator Renee Thokes says just one non-fatal firearm-related incident was reported.
A 14-year-old male was sitting in an enclosed tower stand with his father on private property. The victim's father heard what sounded like a gunshot in the distance, and then shortly after, the victim had felt pain in his feet and found that he had suffered a gunshot through both the left and right foot.
Thokes says the individual was transported to the hospital and treated for his injuries. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A light wintry mix flips to all snow as a cold front rushes through the state, bringing blustery wind chills and prompting a wind advisory as they whip up to 40 to 50 miles per hour, crashing our temperatures cold tonight. Stay warm. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Showed a wild reaction to the results of the 2024 elections. We'll find out how that influenced the monthly Ag Economy Barometer. And it is Wednesday, time for the Farmer Forum. Let's find out what Brent and Ron learned from the 2024 growing season.
Live from the first hump day, the month of December of the year 2024, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll talk with Dr. Jim Mintert of the Purdue University, instead of the Ohio State University, see what I did there.
Okay.
And we'll have a Farmer Forum with panelists Ron Supas from Kansas and Brent Judish from Iowa. I'm Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Big Apple Joe, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Welcome to AgriTalk. Man, it's 35 degrees here right now. 35. Okay? So that's not too bad for December 4th. But the wind is starting to blow, and sometime tonight we're going to be looking at overnight lows, single digits. It's going to get cold in northeast Iowa tonight. Man, and the winds, 50-mile-an-hour gusts this afternoon, Joe.
Ooh. Well, we are, we're 33 at the moment. And, yes, it will be, it's a warning, a winter storm warning. Conditions expected by 5 o'clock Eastern time today, where, I don't know, it'll snow and windy and be altogether nasty.
Wow.
Heavy lake effect.
It almost feels like we're going to have to wrap up the afternoon show early or something, get you home safe and sound.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll do that. Let's do that.
I don't know if we can or not. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Big Apple Joe. Davis has got a couple of days off this week. And as a matter of fact, I think if I've got the schedule right, he will be back with us tomorrow morning. Wait until you hear the movement in the monthly Ag Economy Barometer from the Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University. Jim Mintert's going to be here to have a conversation with us about that. And it is some crazy movement that we saw. Second consecutive month with some big-time swings in the Ag Economy Barometer. Looking forward to the conversation with Jim coming up here in just a little bit. Bottom of the hour, we'll get the Farmer Forum going. Brent Judish, good friend of mine, helps me out on crop tour on the western leg of the tour, but I don't believe has been on the Farmer Forum before. Looking forward to getting Brent in here, and Ron Soups from Kansas will give us an update on what's happening out in the Central Plains today. Okay, we've got a lot of news to get to. I want to go ahead and get started with that as well. And there is some export demand to report this morning. Private exporters reported the sale of 30,000 metric tons of soybean oil for delivery to South Korea during the 2024-25 marketing year. And speaking of South Korea, the South Korean president declared martial law late Tuesday, citing alleged anti-state activities, but the opposition-led National Assembly swiftly overturned the measure. In France, President Macron is asking French lawmakers to reject a no-confidence vote that would topple his government. Geopolitical uncertainty is supported the U.S. dollar on safe haven buying early this morning. Since then, the ADP employment numbers showed a slowdown in economic activity, and the dollar index has turned back to the downside. There were conflicting reports yesterday concerning 45Z tax credits to incentivize production of sustainable aviation fuel. Reuters reported the Biden administration will not release guidance on eligibility issues before leaving the White House, but Bloomberg reported the Treasury Department plans to release the guidance. Industry stakeholders say that it is unlikely the Biden administration will release full details, but that some guidance might come from the Treasury Department. We're going to have to figure out exactly what's going on here, because the uncertainty is kind of crazy and leaves the future of SAF and quite frankly, biofuels and the whole ethanol to jet effort kind of leaves it up in the air right now. Okay, believe it or not, the 2024 elections are finally over, and the House results stand at 220 to 215 in favor of Republicans, a loss of two seats from the previous Congress. Democrats flipped six seats across California and New York, but the GOP gained seats in Pennsylvania and North Carolina to preserve the Republican majority. However, House Speaker Mike Johnson will manage a razor-thin 217 to 215 majority as key Republican members depart for Trump administration roles. These GOP-safe seats should come back with replacements in April. House and Senate leaders are working toward a continuing resolution to prevent a government shutdown and to extend funding until late March 2025. House Speaker Johnson has expressed optimism that appropriations would finalize fiscal year 2025 spending bills well before the proposed deadline. The CR, okay, get this, the continuing resolution is expected to include disaster aid and a one-year farm bill extension. And it looks like they are shooting for an agreement on that CR this week. Don't forget, government funding expires on December 20, so they've got to get moving on that. Efforts to secure an extension of the 2018 Farm Bill obviously have intensified, but Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman from Arkansas has expressed concern about the progress. He says that talks are not well. Bozeman emphasized the need for enhanced risk management tools and crop insurance provision. That's been the story the whole time. Meanwhile, outgoing Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow from Michigan is optimistic, asserting we will have it done. Really. Showed up that late to the party and is now the optimistic one in this whole process. A federal judge in California vacated USDA's 2020 rule that exempted certain genetically engineered or GE plants from regulation. That approval process for crops engineered with herbicide-resistant traits could be slowed down now. Also, GE plants that were previously exempt may now need to undergo more environmental health and economic impact assessments. Mexico says there will be a decision by mid-month on the USMCA challenge to its ban on GM corn imports for food use. The case concerns Mexico's restrictions on white corn imports, which Mexico claims to be self-sufficient in production. The U.S. has argued the policy could disrupt trade and potentially affect GMO yellow corn for feed trade. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the Biden administration trying to get a bunch of stuff done. Yesterday, the Department of Energy...
AgriTalk is brought to you by Winfield United. Maximize crop performance potential by delivering a high load of zinc, manganese, and boron in one efficient application. Max-In Ultra ZMB Plus. Built for it. Learn more at WinfieldUnited.com.
You need proven solutions built for specific agronomic needs, supported by millions of data points, like countless wind tunnel trials and decades of answer plot research. Solutions you can rely on for stronger emergence, greater leaf coverage, and more. Contact your local Winfield United retailer to unlock the full potential of every field by taking a whole acre approach with crop protection solutions built for success, built for you, built for it.
For dairy producers, the health and viability of their herd is just as important as the health and viability of their business. Interested in hearing more from producers on the upsides, the struggles, and what they expect in the future? Check out Clarity at Work, a podcast from Zoetis, featuring dairy men and women across the U.S. moving their herds into the future with genomic testing. Clarity at Work can be found anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as clarifiedplus.com.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at FBN.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
You say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, no, it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Okay, antibodies, huddle up.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durant help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durant location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
AgriTalk is brought to you by John Deere, your land, your brand, technology, equipment, and support to help you farm better now and generations from now.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I do want to get that last news item in here real quickly because, like I said, I'm not sure if you've noticed it or not, but the Biden administration seems to be moving quickly to get some things done that it wants to get done. And now the Department of Energy is reportedly expediting some loan approvals. Yesterday, the DOE announced up to $7.5 billion for Stellantis to build 2 EV battery plants in Indiana. That followed $12 billion in clean energy loans that were announced last week. So lots of movement from the Department of Energy on those IRA loans and grants out there right now. Okay. Jim Minter, director for the Center of Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University joins me right now to talk about the results of the Ag Economy Barometer Survey. Jim, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Very good, and great to be back on the show, Chip.
Glad you're here. Man, oh man, Jim, we thought last month was something. The movement that we saw this month is every bit as stunning as what we saw a month ago. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the Ag Economy Barometer Index was up 30 points this month. That pushes it up to 145. And as you pointed out, I think last month the index was up 17 points. So it's a two-month change that's pretty dramatic. And if you look at it in terms of what drove it, it was mostly about people becoming more optimistic about the future. There was some of that last month as well, but it was even more pronounced this time around. The Future Expectation Index jumped up 37 points compared to last month, and that's the highest reading for that index since April of 21. Current Condition Index was up as well, but not nearly as much. I think it was up about 18 points, but it did push that index up above 100 because it's been below 100 for a while. So really people becoming more optimistic about what's going to happen in 2025 and beyond.
Okay. The future index numbers, they're the highest since April of 2021. And I think about how deep and how depressed our attitudes were in April of 2021. And here we are, you know, our expectations for the future are now, you know, up there with what they were in April of 2021. That's pretty remarkable, very telling survey results, Jim.
Yeah, you know, remember that index collapsed like everything else did in 2020 when COVID hit. And then when people realized that actually incomes are going to be pretty strong, they had a dramatic rebound. And we got to those really high levels in the spring of 21. And so, yeah, approaching those levels, it's still a little bit below that. But, you know, we got up above 175, I think, in April of 21 or in the spring of 21. But, you know, it's pretty dramatic, and it's really about people just becoming more optimistic about the future. And, you know, I think we talked about this last month, Chip. We asked a few questions in October and then repeated them in November. And actually some of those questions we also asked before and after the 2020 election as well to get some ideas to what was driving this. And, you know, the number one thing came back, people really expect to see a more favorable regulatory environment for agriculture, especially with respect to the environment. That was overwhelmingly the number one response. I think 55% of the people in the survey this month said they expect to see a less restrictive regulatory environment for agriculture. In October, that was only 10%. So,
yeah.
Huge change there, and I guess we remain to be seen if that is going to play out. But that's what people are expecting and hoping for.
Okay, so less regulatory environment, but does that translate into expectations of better financial conditions as well?
It did on this survey. So people are thinking that the financial performance index was up quite a bit. That's looking ahead, especially to 25. That's a little bit shorter term frame than some of the other questions. But it's pretty clear people kind of view the downturn that we saw in 2024 as transitory. Now, whether or not that turns out to be true, that's certainly not what most ag economists think. I think a lot of us think it's going to be a pretty tough year in 2025. But you look at the Farm Financial Performance Index, it was up 16 points this month. It's up to 106. It was at 90 last month. A couple of months ago, it was sitting at 68. So there's been a turnaround there in terms of expectations. And so the regulatory stuff is huge. They do think it's going to translate into a positive financial situation. Again, you know, most ag economists like myself are not quite that optimistic.
Right, right. Now, are they turning those expectations into actual investments in their business?
Well, that remains to be seen. The Farm Capital Investment Index did take off. It was up 13 points compared to a month ago, and it's also up 13 points compared to a year ago. And so that index is now in the mid-50s. It was at a reading of 55. And that's sort of significant because that index has been in a trading range of about 30 to 50 for really the last 2.5, almost 3 years. So that is a boost to the optimism there. It's going to be interesting to see if that translates into impact on things like farm machinery sales, farm machinery prices. It's a little premature to say that's happened yet. I think it's going to be very interesting to see if we see any follow through for that in the subsequent surveys here in December and January.
Yep. You know, one thing that we haven't come right out and said, and I think we should, is that the survey was taken from November 11 to 15, immediately following the results of the 2024 election, and it's the change in the Trump transition that has kind of ignited these more optimistic thoughts for the future, right?
Yeah, and I think we were picking some of that up in October, because if you look back to when we collected data in October, it was a time frame when a lot of the polls were starting to see evidence that Trump was gaining on Harris. And so there was a little bit of that optimism showing up in the October survey. This was the confirmation survey. If you go back to 2016, following that 2016 election, the optimism continued to build. It built in December, and it built again in January. And I guess, you know, from my perspective, Chip, that's kind of what I'm looking to see. Are we going to see some follow-through? And, of course, the administration or the incoming administration is moving pretty rapidly with respect to naming key posts. And so people are going to have more information about what the future looks like. So it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of responses we get in December and January, and maybe some of the comments people make as well.
Okay. Improved economic conditions always show themselves, reveal themselves in farmland values. What are the expectations there?
So the farmland value indices, both of them, actually slid backwards just a little bit this month. But I kind of view that as more of a steady state affair, because both of those indexes were up significantly in October. So the short-term index was down 5 points compared to a month ago, but that's on the heels of a 25-point increase in October. And so I think I kind of look at it as we saw the boost in October, and it more or less held its held that boost in going into the month of November. It'll be interesting to see in December and January if we see any more movement. But, you know, those indices are both at pretty positive levels. The short-term index is 115. A year ago, it was at 125. So, you know, those are still pretty positive numbers. It's not nearly as positive as 3 years ago when the index was topping out in the ballpark of about 160. So, you know, we still haven't regained that, but we are more optimistic than we were, for example, 2 months ago. 2 months ago, that index for short-term farmland was below 100.
Right. Okay. Couple of minutes left here. You asked a question on concerns about a trade war. What are some of the details there?
Yeah. So if you think about the survey, throughout the entire survey relative to October, we picked up more optimistic responses. The big exception to that was this risk of trade war. And the way the question was phrased was, how likely do you think U.S. agriculture is at risk of a trade war that results in a significant decrease in U.S. agricultural exports? And people are concerned about it. 42% of the respondents said they think a trade war is either likely or very likely. 26% said it's unlikely or very unlikely. So it is on people's minds. They do remember what happened the last time around when we got into a bit of a trade war with China, and China backed away from buying some of our products. But it wasn't negative enough to pull back on sentiment, which is very interesting. And I guess if there's a surprise in the survey, this might be it. The fact that we're worried about trade, but not enough to worry about it in terms of pulling back sentiment.
So based on what you've seen so far from the Trump administration, Jim, what is your level of concern that a trade war will have a negative effect on the farm economy?
Oh, I think from my perspective, and I think probably most ag economists, we're very concerned about it. U.S. agriculture is a trade powerhouse, and anything that impacts trade is very negative. A lot of the talk is focused on China, but I think we really need to be much more worried about the U.S. and Mexico and Canada. Those are our biggest trade partners, and Mexico in particular is a concern. So if we do something to disrupt our exports to Mexico, that's a problem.
It certainly is. It's not going to be boring, Jim. We know that. It's not going to be boring.
It never is with the barometer.
That's exactly right. And just fascinating numbers again and perspective. Thank you, sir, very much for making time for us.
Appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to visiting with you next time.
Hey, I'm a fast guy. I like fast things, fast cars, fast food, fast service, and yeah, I'm a fast talker too, at least that's what people tell me. But if you think this is fast, check out John Deere See & Spray. It's targeted technology that uses advanced cameras to spot weeds. It can spot a weed in 200 milliseconds. Yeah, you heard me, 200 milliseconds, that's fast. It sees the weed and only sprays that weed. Crazy, right? Did I mention it does that in 200 milliseconds? Man, I wish I could talk that fast. I'm practicing, but sheesh, 200 milliseconds? By target spraying each weed, you use less herbicide. That saves you money and it's better for your plants. If you hate weeds and want to get rid of them fast, then get down to your John Deere dealer, fast, like now. Why are you still listening to me? Ask about See & Spray or go to johndeere.com and see the whole lineup. Hurry.
It doesn't matter how a hybrid or variety performs across the country or even in the next town over. At Golden Harvest, we know local results start with local expertise.
Hey, Jim. Hey, bud.
Like knowing that diner on Main Street has the best slice of pie or knowing the matchup every Friday night. It takes someone who truly knows your acres and will be there every step of the way to make sure you see results. Learn more at goldenharvestseeds.com.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products. Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products and the answers that work.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Market has really taken off, and the futures have responded, but boy, they're under heavy pressure here at mid-morning. And then hog futures, moderate weakness in the December contract, and the recent price action there has been narrowing up at the discount to the cash index, but that's reversed here at mid-morning, and heavy selling in the deferred contracts.
Excellent. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Get more from Pro Farmer at tryprofarmer.com.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is the place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Neogen. Prioritizing herd health and embracing genomic testing are key steps toward maximizing your operation's success. Stay ahead of the curve, invest in your herd's health, and uncover their full potential. Learn more at neogen.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Wednesday. That means it's time for the Farmer Forum. Joining us right now, Brent Judish from Iowa. Brent, how are you, man? Yep. I don't know. Have I ever had you on the Farmer Forum before?
I don't believe so.
No. No. Which is really surprising, you guys. And the reason it's so surprising is because Brent and I have known each other for more years than what either one of us care to admit. And Brent leads the Western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour now, and I'm along to help Brent out. But good to get you on here, Brent, and get your views and your thoughts on some of the things that are happening out there. So hang tight right there. And Ron Soups from Kansas. Hey, Ron, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Chip. Thanks for asking me to be on. I imagine Brent probably knows. Brent knows you well enough that he's been blocking your calls. That's the problem.
That may be, Ron. Okay, Ron, let's talk about the 2024 season. What did you learn from it? What did the 2024 growing season teach you?
It taught me that I can't grow much without moisture. And although we did get moisture, it came kind of after the fact, after wheat harvest. We had a mediocre crop. I don't know that it was average. And the same thing happened with sorghum. We've gotten moisture toward the end of the sorghum crop, although there are areas where sorghum's done pretty well out here in western Kansas. And there's still some sorghum out in the fields. But the thing I learned is that even though I was producing a wheat crop under production costs, it can always get worse, which it has.
That's not real optimistic right there, Ron. What's the situation now? Have you picked up some rains?
We have picked up rain. The wheat is in the ground. Most of it's up. Most of it looks fine. There's still several acres that are still coming up, but at least there's something there to work with. You spoke of optimism. I'm over 70 years old. I've been farming most of my life, and I guess that makes me optimistic, even though I sound pessimistic at times.
I hear you. Hey, on that wheat crop, that winter wheat crop that's up and growing, is it good enough to maybe take a little bit of grazing?
There are areas that can do that and other areas that I wouldn't do that. It's just too small.
Okay. All right, very good. Brent, same to you. What did you learn from the 24 growing season?
Well, the 24 crop was, I think, my 40th crop. I only remember 2 years where it rained every other day. It was 93 and 2024.
Wow.
But what happened is, in 93, we had a half a crop. But with agronomy advances and chemical advances and hybrid advances and tile in our fields without chips, we ended up with 22 inches of extra rain this year and a normal crop. So we've come a long way since the 93 agronomy days.
Yeah, we certainly did. Yeah. Now, that rain all came early in the season, too, because you were dry in August and September, right?
Yeah, we had I think we had a whole year's worth of rain in the months of May, June, and July, and then you and I came home from crop tour, and it never rained again from August 20th until November 1st.
Yeah, it was a crazy way to wrap up the season. So, Brent, what are you going to take from 2024 into 2025, and how might that influence your decisions?
Well, luckily for us, we got the harvest done early, and we kind of put some of our tillage off because the ground was so hard and so dry we couldn't get going. But then once November 1st came, we started to get some rain. So we normally are about 25% of my acres are corn on corn. The rest of my acres I rotate. We were able to get our anhydrous on chip. We're able to get our chisel plowing done, our vertical tilling done. So as of right now, everything that we wanted to get done to follow our normal rotation for 25 is done. So actually, we're personally sitting real strong in where I want to be going into the 25 planting season.
Excellent. That is good to hear. Okay. Ron, you've worked so hard over the years to help develop demand for U.S. wheat in particular. The conversation that we just had with Dr. Mintert from Purdue University, they asked the question about concerns about a trade war that could have a negative impact on on farm incomes in the year ahead. And that concern is legitimate. Just over 40% of the respondents said that they are concerned about it. What about you? What's your level of concern?
Well, first of all, when you talk about trade wars, we need to talk about with who. And, you know, that'll make a big difference who the trade war is with. If it's with China and you're talking about wheat, probably not a big problem because they don't import a lot of our wheat, only when they need to. If you're talking about Mexico, then you're talking about another kind of a problem with wheat, corn, and beans. So, first of all, it would depend on which country it is. I think since the last time we had President Trump in office, we learned some things about trade, especially if we were trading only with China. It forced us to go out and look for other customers. So I think that's going to be an advantage to us this time if it happens again.
Yeah. So the what is your level of concern? Dr. Mintert said basically expressed the same concerns that you've got, Ron. Before it was China, but now Mexico and Canada are our biggest trade partners. We've got the USMCA, and there seems to be some dents in the armor of the USMCA. Is that how you see it, Ron?
Oh, I think there probably are with any trade agreement we have, but I'm not sure that it's with the trade agreement. It has to do more with the border and what's happening there. But I think one of my big concerns that we all need to be concerned about if we're growing wheat, and that's this new HB4 trait that's coming into effect, you know, genetically modified wheat. So probably have to ask, you know, what are your plans for retirement? But with the new Secretary of Ag, whoever that is, I would probably have to ask, what do we do with infrastructure? It's not only going to affect genetically modified wheat in the future, which is probably going to happen, but it'll affect all commodities. So our infrastructure is lacking.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? I want to come back to that in just a bit because I want to stay on trade, but I do want to come back to those concerns, Ron. Brent, your level of concern about the Trump administration's trade policies or actions and the potential for a negative impact on farm income?
Well, I'm actually optimistic with the administration change. You know, we've been talking, you and I have, on Crop Tour for 3 years now, that we've got to get more soybean crush. You know, we just come off of October was a record 1 month for soybean crush. We got to stop competing with the imported used cooking oils coming in. That's hurting the amount of soybean oil that's going into SAF airline fuel. That's also hurting the amount of oil that we're getting to use for the renewable diesel. So I'm actually optimistic that we can stop some of this imported after the fact cooking oil and actually get to utilize our soybeans in, you know, locally. Because we don't need to ship beans anywhere. If we can get enough soybean plants and get the SAF rolling like it should be and get the renewable diesel going, we don't need to export beans. You can use them all in the country. We just have to have some policies that promote that. And the current policies have not been promoting that.
Right.
So I would add to that, statement,
absolutely,
to Brent?
Absolutely. Yep, jump in.
I agree totally. I'm on an advisory committee with USTR as far as trade agreements. We haven't had a trade agreement for quite a while. We need some of those. The other thing I would do if I had a chance to talk to Secretary of Ag, which I probably will in the future, is how do we expect an individual farmer to compete against a foreign government? And that's what's been happening. So through our trade agreements, we can change some of that. And I'm pretty optimistic that we will.
Yeah. Ron, there are reports this morning that Peter Navarro may be a senior advisor on trade issues to the Trump White House. I don't think that's any surprise, but Robert Lighthizer hasn't found a place in the administration yet. Are you what's your take on Navarro?
Well, not knowing much about what he would come up with, I prefer Lighthizer. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. And I think I think I am in the same boat as you. I just want to see exactly what the plan might be for Navarro going forward, what role he's going to play. Now, if it's a China role and we've got to be tough, I could see a place for Navarro. But when it comes to managing trade between Mexico and the U.S. and Canada and the U.S., Navarro might be a little rough for managing that relationship. Okay, we're in the middle of the Farmer Forum. Brent Judish from Iowa, Ron Soups from Kansas. We'll keep it going next here on AgriTalk.
Want to get smart?
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan. You pick your deductible. You even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. Get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. A toll-free number has been established for you to call for your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number to call is 800-299-1058. 800-299-1058. Again, that's 800-299-1058.
William is one of millions of Americans who uses GoodRx to save on the cost of their prescriptions.
My oldest daughter, Camilla, 2 days old, she had to have open heart surgery. All of a sudden, she's on 5 different medications. It adds up at the end of the month. Me and the pharmacist got so tight. She said GoodRx saved you a lot of money. Saving that extra $200 to $300 a month, we're able to do all these extra activities. So it puts less stress on our household and it puts less stress on our pockets.
Download the free app or visit GoodRx.com and start saving today. GoodRx users are compensated for their time. GoodRx is not insurance, but can be used instead of insurance.
Hi, everyone. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up, because you could be entitled to significant compensation. We have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-570-0200. That's 800-570-0200. Call now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Dan English, General Manager, FBN Financial, is here to talk about how FBN Finance is helping farmers secure personalized loans. Dan, interest rates, they've been volatile for some time now. Share what the current market looks like and how FBN Finance can help farmers with their land financing.
Rates have continued to be somewhat volatile this year. The Federal Reserve has already lowered rates by 0.75%. And they've indicated they're going to continue to lower rates in 2025. But for longer term products like mortgages, that's really only one factor that goes into their pricing.
Okay, excellent. What is that checklist? What does it look like when someone's deciding which loan term is best for them?
At FBN Finance, we're focused on family farmers, and so we take a unique approach to work with each farmer's operation to see what might be best for them. Our team has more than 15 years of ag finance experience, so they can really understand what your farm needs and what is best in terms of rates, fees, and getting you to the lowest cost loan possible.
Fantastic. FBN Finance offers some great products out there. What else do we need to think about?
Everything we do here at FBN Finance is to empower farmers. We've provided over $2 billion of financing to almost 3,000 farmers and counting because we make it easy and affordable for farmers to finance their operations with land purchases, refinances, or even improvements. In addition to our real estate offerings, farmers can save even more on chem and animal health products during FBN Cyber Days through December 13th. And right now, farmers can get even more buying power with a 0% interest operating loan on FBN inputs through December 31st. Finally, we're offering AgriTalk listeners $500 off their closing costs for land loans over $250,000. All you need to do is fill out our form at fbn.com/agritalk or call us directly at 833-FBN-LEND. That's L-E-N-D, to speak with a loan advisor and just mention AgriTalk.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you so much. That is Dan English, General Manager at FBN Financial.
We've been using Pivot Bio for 4 years. The first thing to drive us to Pivot Bio was the unique thought that there's something else out there outside of synthetic nitrogen that can replace it. And the data shows that we are able to replace that 40 pounds, sustain the same yield goals with 40 pounds less synthetic nitrogen. Anytime we can more efficiently use our nitrogen, that is more efficiently using our dollars.
Visit TalkNitrogen.com for your free nitrogen efficiency review. That's TalkNitrogen.com.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, simplifying land loans to help family farms build a stronger financial future. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
We are heading into the final segment of this week's Farmer Forum with Brent Judish from Iowa, Ron Soups from Kansas. With Ron, we got into a little bit of what conversation he would have with the USDA secretary right now. I want to go to Brent for that right now. Brent, if you had that opportunity to sit down with the Secretary of Agriculture and talk about any issues with that person, whoever it might be, and we think it's going to be Rollins, what do you want to talk to them about?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I'm on the District Corn Growers Board, and we had a meeting last week. And we had two major topics. One was, like I mentioned, the soybean oil that we're competing with, the used cooking oil, you know, the exports on that are bad. But the second thing that concerns us and personally is solar. There's a lot of solar farms kind of pop up in our area. There's a lot of solar farms starting to get pop up in central Illinois. You know, we're taking some of the best ground in the world and we're covering up with solar. And if we keep doing this, sooner or later, we're going to run out of the really good acres, Chip, to grow a crop on. And that's a long-term concern. I think we need to start watching and monitoring this because, you know, you can't compete $1,100, $1,200 an acre for rent. I mean, how's a young farmer going to compete with that when he's trying to get his operation going?
No, they can't. They absolutely can't. Heck, Brent, in our area, a young farmer can't compete with a $300 CRP bid.
No, nope, not even close.
Yeah, it's really something. So, Ron, tell me more about the development of the GE weed. Do you see that as a problem or an opportunity?
I see it as a problem to start with, but an opportunity for the future.
Okay.
It depends on what traits they come up with, also, and we're having to deal with international customers that we have to appeal to, and especially Japan. And so this is going to be a problem, and that's why I mentioned the fact that we need to really be looking at infrastructure, because I think these traits are coming in 3 to 5 years, so we need to get set up for it, because a lot of our customers will not accept GM-modified wheat.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, Ron. Could some other technologies delay the development of that GE wheat? You know, what I'm thinking about very, very specifically is the See and Spray technology that's coming on. I mean, if it can be used for weeds, it can be used for bugs, and it can be used for diseases, can't it?
Well, sure. We can also do basically what GM technology can do through our CRISPR technique and also through gene markers. It just takes a little longer. So, you know, that's a possibility. But going back to your Peter Navarro statement and what will happen with China, I think Jameson Greer, who's going to be with USTR, was trained by Lighthouser. So that makes me feel better. And I think it all depends on who's getting the most charge. You know, if he retains a prominent position in there, I think we'll be okay. With Navarro, I'm not sure. But sometimes with some of these countries, you have to come out tough to start with and then see what happens.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay. Brent, I'm going to go to you on the technology question now. What do you see in the future that's kind of got you all excited when it comes to technology on the farm?
Well, you know, the See and Spray is going to be probably full bore broadcast in about 2 or 3 years. It's been out a year now. The speed of the sprayer is not quite there yet, but we're making advances every year. But, you know, we're probably going to start getting pushed from the, you know, California, where everything's going to work from west to east. And, you know, the all limitations of when you're going to spray, how much you're going to spray, what's the wind. If we can cut our chemical usage by 70%, 80%, which is what we're seeing, to me, that's going to be a huge thing going forward. That's going to make us more green chip. It's going to make us more responsible for what we're doing. And I think there's some technologies coming like that that's really going to advance what we can do as a farmer, being green and keeping our crops and our ground healthy.
Yeah, yeah, good points, good points. And dang, Brent, if it's going to cut use by 70%, it should make it take at least a bit of a bite out of your input costs, total input costs, right?
Yes, and right now how it's working is where most of us are broadcasting our grass control with residual, and then you're seeing spray as a spraying your broadleaves. But, you know, if you're spending $43, $45, $47 an acre and you cut that by 70%, that's a yeah. large savings. But it's also, you know, forget the savings. It's also healthier. You know, we're not spraying every yep. acre. We're yep. not spraying the crop. So I think we're probably going to see some yield advances coming forward, because – anytime you put less stress on that plant, Chip, that has to be a positive.
That's right. That's right. Okay. We're into the last minute and a half here, but I got to ask you, Ron, what do you make of RFK Jr.?
I think that's going to be another interesting aspect. I do believe we need to take a look at some of these preservatives that we're using in some of the foods. Some of those are not healthy. I'm not a food and drug person, but from what I'm hearing about those things, we need to be concerned. The verdict's out on him. He's a wild card.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I think it's time to shake things up and take a look. You know, and when it comes to, for example, organic, we're importing a lot of organic products. We need to be able to know what actually is there. And. Yep. Same thing applies to the preservatives.
Yep, yep. Ron, I always enjoy when you're on talking the issues that really matter. Thank you. Thank you so much for making time.
You're welcome.
All right, Ron Soups out in Kansas. Brent Judish, maiden voyage on the Farmer Forum, buddy. Good work. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chip. Appreciate it.
You bet. Brent Judish here in Northeast Iowa. And thank you so much for listening this morning. Man, we had covered a lot of ground with the Ag Economy Barometer. We're going to continue the conversation this afternoon. John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing here on AgriTalk.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands.